When congressional Democrats agreed to end the government shutdown in exchange for a vague promise for a future vote on the status of young undocumented immigrants from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, corporate media expressed a consensus. Dreamers weren't worth a shutdown. Joshua Cho looked at the New York Times, Washington Post, and Wall Street Journal from 3 days before to 3 days after the shutdown and found a striking lack of concern for the fate of the Dreamers and many variations of the same take on the need for a bipartisan compromise for immigration reform. Writing for Fair.org, Cho notes that out of 34 op-eds and editorials, only New York Times columnist Michelle Goldberg criticized the Democrats for selling out the Dreamers. The majority of pieces argued that it was an inevitable or smart choice. None advocated for the Democratic Party to hold out for a clean Dream Act that would provide a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers that isn't tied to a concurrent clampdown on immigration. The 20 columnists and op-ed contributors were 90% white and 80% male. None were Latino. None were Dreamers or immigration activists. And finally, you saw it coming, and then there it was. Philadelphia Eagles fans set fires, broke into stores, and uprooted lampposts after the Super Bowl, resulting in just 4 arrests. City officials' muted reaction to the crowds of overwhelmingly white male fans was remarked, but media, too, reflected a double standard. Outlets that routinely use the word violence to refer to protests by black and brown people against police shootings now reached for terms like unruliness. That was the New York Times. Philly officials had some cleaning up to do, chuckled AP, after fans turned unruly overnight. The wire service described smashing department store windows, looting a gas station convenience store, and hitting cops with bottles as the actions of rowdies. But, as Owen Higgins writes for Fair.org, the reason for the variance may have to do with the motive for the protest, as well as with the racial makeup of the people in the street. Majority white crowds at the WTO protests in Seattle in 2000 and the J20 protests at the 2016 Trump inauguration were each painted by corporate media as violent events based on limited incidents of vandalism. Reporter Sam Adler Bell of Mask notes that policing the use of the term violence is one of the ways the state tries to maintain its monopoly control on the legitimate use of force. In a piece on the J20 arrests, Adler Bell illustrated the contrast, quote, breaking storefront windows, violence, dousing civilians in pepper spray, crowd control, overturning trash bins, violence, hurling stinger grenades at the heads of protesters, maintaining order, close quote. For corporate media as well, not what actually happens, but whether street actions challenge the powers that be would seem to determine whether participants are violent or just taking a good time a little too far. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group Fair.